Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. I can't take it.
GP locker room, and we are pumped up for tonight's show. This is somebody coming on that is a very dear friend of mine. I actually came into the University of Colorado as a freshman with this guy, spent 5 years with him, and just a real good person that loves to give back. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, Big 12 champion, college All-American. I mean, the accolades don't stop. And once again, a very dear friend of mine, Daniel Graham. So I think we have Dan on the line with us. Dan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. How's everything going?
Everything's going good, boss, and we really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a million things on your plate.
Man, no problem. You know, anything, you know, to give back, especially some old teammates, some good friend of mine, so no problem.
Appreciate it, man. So let's get right into it because we got a bunch of young aspiring players and their families that are tuning in tonight. And obviously they're familiar with your name and seeing you play on Sundays. But I know that you have some great advice to share with these kids too. So for those that don't know you, Dan, where are you originally from?
I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Okay. And coming from Denver, did you see football as a means to go to college in the beginning, or was it something that you got hit to later on?
You know, a little bit about my background. High school was the first year I ever played football, and I grew up playing basketball, baseball, so I can never sit here and say my dream was to play football. But, you know, when I started playing football in high school, this was a sport that got me to the next level. I was good at got me to the next level. So I know we'll probably talk about it later, but, you know, just saying that, you know, I would suggest that, you know, kids don't put all their eggs in one basket in one sport because you have no idea what your sport is.
Great point. And you actually come from a very talented family, football family. Love the Graham family. Took me in plenty of times and gave me a warm meal when I was out there at CU. But your dad played in the NFL for 8 years. Did you feel obligated from your dad? You know, any obligations as far as playing football, or did he just pretty much let you choose?
You know, I really didn't feel any obligations. it was understood, though, when I was growing up. And, you know, I know people don't know I have a twin brother, so when I speak, I say we. When we were growing up, you know, it was understood that we weren't, you know, my dad wasn't going to let us play football until high school. So growing up, like you're saying, I was a basketball, baseball player, and there was never any pressure or an obligation to play football because my dad played.
And special shout out also to Josh, Tom, and Josh. Want to say shout out to you guys and miss you guys. But when you were coming up, you actually chose to attend Thomas Jefferson, which at the time had a pretty talented team. Did you feel like you fit in with the guys once you did started playing football, or did you have a lot to learn?
You know, I felt like I fit in, and you know, I actually didn't choose to go to Thomas Jefferson High School. That was the high school in my district. You know, that was the high school I was supposed to go to. And you know, like I said, we had a talented group in high school. You know, our coaching staff was a great coaching staff, and that's a big key now for high school, is to make sure, you know, that your coach is involved in doing what he can to help get your film out or to sell you, you know, sell you to these colleges.
So would you credit the coaches as far as keeping you guys up to date with what you needed to have in order to play college ball?
Yeah, you know, I give the credit to my coaches, you know, and then also, you know, my parents, you know, having that support, you know, from them. But, yeah, it was, you know, our high school coach really that, you know, I give a lot of, you know, credit to for keeping us focused on selling us to the university, because that's what, you know, when it boils down to it, that's what their job is. And we had a coach who did a great job of getting our name out to the university.
Now, you mentioned other sports while you were in high school, Dan, and I can testify that you were a hell of an athlete, man. How do you feel about players today specializing in just one sport? Do you think kids should be multi-sport kids or just specialize in today's times?
You know, I honestly believe you should be a multi-sport, you know, kid. And I have a little boy who's six now, and I'm going to introduce him to as many sports as I can. You know, I think that just speaking from my background, you know, I grew up, you know, I could always say my dream was to play baseball. But my dream, it didn't, you know, it went a whole nother route. You know, it was because, you know, I played multiple sports, and I saw that football was my avenue to college, and so I, you know, took that and ran with it.
Did your brother Josh, because you did mention you have a twin, and that's very unique. We don't currently have any kids that have any twin brothers with BYGP, but did you feel any pressure to consider him in your decision on where to go to college?
You know, we wanted to go to school together, but we understood that there was a possibility we wouldn't. It was my twin brother ended up going to the University of North Carolina. They were recruiting me as a linebacker, and I told them I wasn't going to play linebacker in college. So we knew that there was a possibility that we would split up, and we eventually did. And you know, the choice I made was the best choice for me.
And once your brother got off, that was your first time not being with him, you know, 24/7. Was that hard on you when you did go off to college?
You know, it wasn't hard, but at the same time, it was, I'm going to say, it was different for me. You know, growing up as a twin, I had somebody with me from day one every day. When I took a trip to Southern Cal, he took a trip to North Carolina, and that was the first time in our life we ever been separated. And our freshman year in college, I tell you, we ran my dad's phone bill up so high. We talked every day, even if it was for 5 minutes, just say hello, see how you doing and stuff.
Definitely. And talk to us a little bit, Dan, about the decision to go to Colorado. Obviously, you were from Denver, so you were familiar with the university, but what was the defining moment or thing that made you choose CU?
You know, I took my recruiting trips to Arizona State, Southern Cal, University of Colorado. I canceled Oklahoma and Texas A&M. And before I ever took my first trip, I said to myself, wherever I have the most fun on my recruiting trip, I'm not going to go to school there. And that ended up being Arizona State. That ended up being Arizona State. So I cut them out completely. I ended up committing to Southern Cal. And we ended up, my father and I, we found out that they were going to switch me to linebacker, and I was not going to play linebacker. So when I found that out, I just said, you know what, I'm going to just stay home, go to University of Colorado. I canceled my two other trips, and I tell you what, T-Wood, that was the best decision I ever made, going to University of Colorado.
And that's a good point, though, Dan. You kind of got wind that people were talking about switching your position. Do you think that happens to a lot of kids, and is that something that kids need to be aware of when they're choosing which college to go to?
You know, it's something, you know, the athlete needs to be aware of, especially if you have your mind, your heart set on playing a certain position. You know, that I had that. I wanted to play tight end. I didn't want to play linebacker. And but at the same time, you know, they have to be prepared, because if they don't know that going in, they have to be prepared that that is a possibility that can happen. But for the most part, unless you're labeled an athlete coming out of high school, the college is usually going to play you at that position they recruited you at.
Did you feel like you got any extra love in the household because you were staying home and your brother was going far away?
No, you know, it wasn't extra love in the household. You know, just speaking to, you know, your listeners right now who are, you know, potential student athletes at the college level, you know, I think one thing, you know, to keep in mind is wherever you grew up, going to school at that university or whatever, that is benefits in the long run. I know you may not see it now, but with me being from Denver, you know, going to the University of Colorado, now that I'm done with the NFL and me living here in Colorado, there are a lot of benefits of going to that university that was close to home for me.
Great point. Great point. So once you finally put on that CU hat and you chose to go to Colorado, which obviously we were all so glad that you did make that decision, when you got up to the university, did you feel ready, DG, as a freshman, or did you feel like you had some work to do athletically and academically?
Well, you know, to answer that question, you know, I needed help in both areas, you know, you know, academically, you know, I just, you know, like I say to your listeners, you know, always keep in mind that you're a student athlete and not an athletic student. So, you know, school always comes first, but, you know, being at the college level, you know, being a freshman, for majority of the freshmen, over 90%, is going to be a new experience. College is much tougher. Now you also have to have that focus and discipline to get yourself up, because nobody, you know, you don't have your parents here to wake you up, you know, until you go to class and stuff. And so that, you know, that was a big learning experience in its own, outside of just academics, you know, having that discipline, you know, to get up and do it yourself. But then on the field, you know, I redshirted, you know, and like you said, most of us redshirted from our class, but that was a great thing, you know, just to get the feel of the college level, because it's a whole different feed at the college level. And to redshirt and learn that first year was a great benefit for me.
Did you find it hard, Dan, to balance the urge to want to play in the NFL, but also try to put, like you said, some eggs in a different basket just in case you didn't go to the NFL?
You know, I really didn't have the urge of the NFL, because when I got to college, I was just so excited to be in college, be at my parents' house. You know, it's, you know, a next step of, you know, you almost feeling, you know, grown and stuff. And so I enjoyed college. You know, I don't know if you know, Terrence, but, you know, and a lot of guys, but I had the opportunity to leave college our junior year. And what my father told me, you know, you have the opportunity, you know, you can leave early. It didn't even cross my mind. I didn't hesitate. I told my dad, there's no way I'm leaving. I said, I'm staying here and I'm going to finish school with my boys I came in with.
And obviously, we were glad that you did, man. And for those that are just joining on with us, we have Daniel Graham on the line. He is somebody that is a dear friend of mine, dear friend of the program, but he is a two-time Super Bowl champ, Big 12 champion, All-American consensus in college, and John Mackey Award winner as well. So he's been there, done it all, and he's graced us with some time tonight that we definitely appreciate. Talk to us a little bit, Dan, about going through a coaching change, because you were recruited by Rick Neuheisel and you finished your career with Gary Barnett. When the change happened, did you ever consider leaving the University of Colorado, or did you know you were going to stay there?
You know, I didn't consider leaving at all. You know, I was going to stay here at the University of Colorado. It is a difficult period, you know, just transitioning to a new coach when you came to this university, you know, and for the most part because of this coach. But as I learned later on in my career and life that, you know what, in this sport, this is going to happen. You're going to get a new coach all the time. And it was just, you know, a good lesson learned at a younger age that, you know, coaches come and go and you still have to, you know, stay focused on what you're there for, what the bigger goal is at the end of the day. You know, you're there to get a degree, and with a new coach or with a coaching change, that shouldn't stop what you're in college for in the first place.
Talk to me a little bit about the adjustment, because you were somebody that was able to adjust and actually thrive after the coaching change. And I know that you've been through coaching changes in the NFL as well. Can you talk to maybe that kid out there that is a freshman at a school or just went through a coaching change as far as some things he could do to get in good grace with the coach or to catch a coach's eye?
Well, you know, I mean, just to be in good grace, I mean, you have to, first of all, know that, you know, your actions on the field speak higher volumes than anything you could say or anything you could do to get in a coach's grace. You know, and it's little things like that, you know, that, you know, I would say to your listeners, all these are life lessons, and, you know, you got to take every situation and learn from this, you know. There's always going to be changes, and you always have to adapt. In the sports world or outside of the sports world, you know. And so those are life lessons that you'll have to take and that is going to happen to you another time, you know, throughout your life. There's always going to be a change. It's going to be a change or it's somewhere you have to adapt to something new.
Great point, Ben. And talk to us a little bit about that senior year, man. That was a year that will go down in history, not only in Colorado, but probably as any individual player for CU. And I know that you're the beloved son of the state of Colorado out there, man, because you're homegrown. But talk to us a little bit about that senior year. Did you expect to have the type of team and individual success that you had?
You know, I think I expected to have more of a team success more than an individual success. Throughout my career, I've never been a me person and a me player. It's always been about team, and I was this was instilled in me as a youth, you know, growing up. Always, you know, team is always, you know, bigger than the individual. And when I got to the NFL, I learned it at the highest level from, you know, no one better than Coach Belichick. You know, he did not care. From Tom Brady to the last person on that roster, everyone was treated equal. So, you know, everything, in mostly all sports, it is a team sport, and no one is bigger than the team. And when everyone on the team realizes that and understands that, it makes your team much better.
And you actually ended up being the first-round draft pick of the aforementioned New England Patriots and Coach Belichick. Did you know that the Patriots were going to be the team to draft you, or did you think it was going to be somebody else?
You know, on draft day, you never know what happens. You know, there are projections. You know, they project, you know, people to go here, go there. I was projected to go to the Seattle Seahawks, and on draft day, Seattle traded back 3 or 4 spots thinking I would still be there, and New England jumped ahead of them and drafted me. I thought I was going to Seattle, ended up in New England, you know, so you never know really on draft day what happens until your name is called.
And just an amazing career, man. I mean, like I said, a consensus All-American, John Mackey, which is the top tight end in the country award, on to a first-round draft pick. I must say myself, got a smile across my face seeing you be the first pick of our class, and, you know, really got a good jump start into the NFL. Did you realize at the time that it was kind of a storybook career as far as being able to be a Big 12 champion and a Super Bowl champion, or was that something that kind of dawned on you at the end of your career?
Well, you know, as I sit here at the end of my career and I look back at all the accolades I won and stuff, I sit back and just say to myself, I was blessed, you know. I can do nothing but, you know, thank God for the talent he gave me, for the position he put me in. And, you know, I don't take anything for granted. You know, like you said, my father played 8 years in the NFL, and he never once went to the playoffs. You know, my second year, I won a Super Bowl, third year, won another one. When I leave New England, the last 6 years of my career, I never went to the playoffs, you know. So you can't take anything for granted, and you have to just, you know, seize every opportunity, every moment.
And what was it about those Super Bowl winning teams that you think made you guys the champions? Was it what was the intangible thing that you think made you guys champions?
You know, number one thing is nobody was bigger than the team. And everyone did their job. You know, they didn't try to do anything extra, try to do something more. They did what their job was. We played together as a unit, and we were always focused and disciplined on everything we did when we were in New England. And we were just a poster of what you do in practice carries over to a game. And it showed we won most of our games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we went out on Sunday and had fun. And it was just the swag that we had and the confidence we had and the preparation that Coach Belichick put us in every week. We knew we were going to win.
What makes Tom Brady a special quarterback?
You know, he is he just a hard worker, and he competes, you know, to the highest level. He has to win at everything he does. And I realized within 2-3 weeks how smart this guy was as a quarterback of understanding everything. And he's always prepared, you know, for every game on Sunday.
Talk to me a little bit, Dan, and we got roughly about 8 minutes here. Don't want to keep you too long. And once again, we appreciate the time. But talk to me a little bit about the type of, you mentioned the word swag or self-confidence that a player has to have to get to the level that you did. I mean, when you walked into that locker room as a rookie, I'm sure guys were coming at you trying to test to see if you were worth the pick. What type of attitude does a player have to take on to play at that level?
You know, I don't want to get it twisted. You know, a player doesn't have to have swag, you know, but you should have that confidence, you know, when you're going out there on the field and you're going to, at anything you do, you should just have that confidence, you know. You know, swag is just another part of just that confidence, but I just don't want to take away from having that confidence on the field, you know. And, you know, when you're on the practice field, you know, every student athlete, you know, should always remember there's somebody out there that is better than me, you know. Yes, you can – you know, say to yourself, you are the best. You can have that confidence in yourself. But there's always somebody better than me. And so I have to think to myself, today, did that person outwork me? And then when you wake up tomorrow, I'm going to outwork that person. You know, because you always have to know that somebody's out there. And when you get to the NFL, I got, a friend who's a scout. His job is to find somebody to replace me. So you never can get satisfied, never get comfortable with where you are. And always, perfect your craft and get better at what you do.
Great advice, man. Talk to us a little bit about relationships, whether in college with alums or scholarship donors, or whether in the NFL with front office. How big do you think players upholding relationships and nurturing relationships is?
When you get to the college level, it's important to, meet the alumni, get yourself out there and let them know that, you're doing something positive or anything of that nature, because when, college is said and done, when it's over with, a lot of people don't make it to the NFL. This is just reality. And so the real world starts, and, you never know. You could have walked by and you just said hello to some alum's kid, and they never forgot that. And, it always can come back and help you. Going out and networking for yourself is not going to hurt you in a bad way, but it could help you more than it could hurt you, I could say, in the future or the long run.
What do you think? Because there's been a recent rash, as you know, of college and NFL guys and even some high school guys getting in trouble off the field. What do you think that's a cause of, Dan? And do you think that players need to be more aware of their off-the-field actions?
Players do. And at the end of the day, the student-athletes out there, at the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror and you can't blame anybody but yourself. You can't blame your mother or your parents, you can't blame society. Everybody has issues. And so, you have that choice to make a right choice or a wrong choice. And at the end of the day, you made that choice, and you have to live up to your consequences. So you can't blame anybody but yourself. So for these student-athletes getting in trouble, that is their fault. They can't blame anybody for that.
Do you think athletes get targeted?
Well, I'm not going to say they get targeted, but there's a bigger spotlight on their back because of what they do. It's people who are jealous or envious of what, athletes do. They wish they could be in their shoes, so they're always going to be watched, always be, they're always going to be critiqued or whatever. So, student-athlete always has to know this, that somebody's always watching, especially now with social media. When you and I were in school, we didn't have to worry about a camera phone or Twitter or anything like
Thank
that.
God.
Now, it's everywhere, and somebody's always watching you.
Definitely. No, man. That was a perk that we didn't have. I guess you could say a good perk we didn't have back then.
Yeah.
that these kids have to deal with now. So that's a great point. Did you ever find yourself, Dan, having to watch who you hang out with or to maybe stray away from certain people because you just felt like they didn't have your best interest in mind?
Well, I knew for myself, first and foremost, what was right, what was wrong. And I'm not going to put myself in a situation where, it could be something wrong. Now, I understand, things might happen just out the blue, but at the end of the day, you got to make that choice. Now, are you going to go over here and do what these people over here are doing and you know it's wrong, or are you just going to pull yourself away from that? There's nothing wrong with walking away from the majority or the popular to do your own thing. And, if you consider yourself a leader, you wouldn't be pressured into that stuff anyway.
I love it. Great advice. So, yeah, man, last question of the night. And once again, just really appreciate your time. But you're kind of at the top of the mountain, man, the football mountain now, and you've accomplished so much. I mean, I know that the award room looks good in the house. Give us maybe a little insight or a little advice that you would give to a Dan Graham that is 18 years old. He's brand new on campus at CU. Freshman, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tail. What would the Super Bowl-winning champ Dan Graham say to the 18-year-old Dan Graham?
You know, the first thing I would say to him is, you know, you got to understand, first and foremost, you're a student-athlete, and you're not an athletic student. I'm in the process right now, 15-plus years later, going back to college to get my degree, just to get my papers. I have two classes left. And, you know, yes, I don't have to get this degree. It's, you know, probably not going to do anything for me. But just the fact to say that, yes, I graduated from college. You know, I completed that. I will say to, you know, someone going in, don't take those 4 or 5 years for granted, because it goes by so fast. You know, it had been much easier for me to graduate on time than what it is now. It's much harder now to get your mind right. I mean, just imagine going to school and having to write a paper 15 years later after you've written your last paper. You know, it is much harder now. And, you know, then after that, you know, but at the same time, enjoy life, you know, enjoy college. That's, you know, that's the best time of your, you know, best time of your life. You know, a lot of people ask me now, do you talk to a lot of guys in the NFL? So I said, you know, I really don't talk to a lot of guys I played with. All of my boys, my lifelong friends, are from college. You know,
yeah.
So just enjoy that time, embrace it, you know, because those 4 or 5 years are going to go by so fast. And, you know, you meet a lot of good people in college.
Well, hey, man, amazing job, and love you to death. Like I said, you guys, this is somebody that I've known since he was 18 years old. We came in as freshmen and had summer house together, eating top ramen, drinking Kool-Aid, and to see you be so successful, man, on and off the field, I'm proud of you. Love you to death, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. You know, thanks for having me, man, and, you know, best of luck to all the student athletes you deal with, you know, and you just go, you know, go for everything you can, you know, your goals, and don't give up.
There you go. So appreciate it, Dan, man. You get some rest, and I'll be in contact, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right. So there you guys have it, man. Once again, it's a real good guy. He loves feeding into young athletes, and he's been around the CU program lately, trying to get that program back on track and really get some good kids around there. But that is somebody that has done everything you can do as far as football goes. Once again, college All-American, Mackey Award winner for the best tight end in the country. He actually beat out Jeremy Shockey, who was with Miami at the time. And he's somebody that was a first-round draft pick, Super Bowl champion. You can't ask for much more. And he came into the locker room because he wanted to feed into you guys. Keep in mind some of the things that he said. Watch out who you're hanging with. Have some intention about your daily walk and about your journey. Get after it. Have a game plan. And if you guys have not checked out all the content that we have Before You Go Pro, please go to www.beforeyougopro.com, just like it sounds. And check out some of the content, because you guys will really get some great advice and some great things to think about to help you along your football journey. We've got another great show on Thursday, so tune in Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. If you are currently not with our online mentoring program and you are a young player between the ages of 13 through 19, check out the website. We would love to work with you. Set up a game plan so that we can get you off to a great college like a University of Colorado or a number of any other schools that are out there across the country. So you guys have a wonderful night. Hopefully you got something out of Dan Graham's show, and we will definitely see you at the top. Bye-bye.